chance to have a dream, to open and run a bakery. But they took a chance, took the sweets to the street. Now they all have places where I'd love to eat.
Hello there, bakeroos and bakerettes. Welcome to the Rise Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Dick, and this is the show about bakers and bakeries and bakery owners and all the folks that work so hard, often through the night, to make the good stuff and share it with the people in their community. How are you this week? It's so great to be back with another podcast. I can't even tell you. I'm going to tell you. It's awesome. It's a good feeling to be able to share this chat with you. Today on the show, I talked to Martha Barber, who is the owner and founder of Martha's Delectables, which is a bakery and a specialty cookie place here in Victoria, British Columbia. And if you've been in Victoria for more than about 14 hours, you've probably seen a package of Martha's Delectable cookies. Maybe it's at her store. Maybe it's at a ball game. Maybe it's at a farmer's market. Maybe it's at your hotel. Maybe it's at the fancy gift shop that you've been to. It's a real interesting success story about marketing and storytelling and good food and community spirit and tourism and all of that, all bundled into one. And it's coming up in a couple of minutes' time, and I really think you're going to enjoy this talk. Before then, let's talk about a few things. First off, my goodness, if you're living in part of the world that's dealing with floods or fire or storms or high winds or smoke, my heart goes out to you. It really does. You know, here in Canada, it's just been burning nonstop. It doesn't make the news all the time because the news isn't built for things that are happening nonstop. But the fires have been happening nonstop. The big ones these days seem to be in the Northwest Territories, right around the city of Yellowknife. We've got friends up there that are likely been evacuated. And in the Okanagan Valley in British Columbia, where I know folks that have had to leave their homes and hopefully haven't lost their homes in the last couple of weeks. It's wild times. It's wild times, and it makes for horrific social media posts and stuff. But boy, oh boy, are we ever going to make some meaningful changes, eh? I don't know. I sure hope so. If you are the type of person who thinks about this stuff and tries to have good information and know what's going on and seeing the effects, like, what can you do as a person? What can you do as a small group of people other than, I don't even know anymore. It seems that, you know, taking to the streets doesn't work. Writing your MLA sure doesn't work. I don't know what works, but something's got to give around here because it's pretty wild. What we're seeing. What else is new? I mentioned in the last episode that our daughter Robin was over from England visiting with us, and she's gone back to England now. So that's sad, but it was a great visit and took her all over the place here and enjoyed all the beaches and stuff. It was a very good time, and it was so great to see her. So that happened. And other than that, now I'm just back at work, working at the coffee shop, trying to pay for that that 10 days with our daughter. So working hard, making lots, and hopefully the business does well and tips are high and I'll get some. that would be nice. Hey, speaking of tips and financial aid and that kind of thing, you know, I want to take a minute just on this show to say thank you, a huge thank you to the folks that support this podcast. They do two things. They support this podcast and they support Bakers for Bakers. There's about, I checked the other day, there's about two dozen people that give a small monthly donation to the show and keep this afloat, keep the hosting costs under control, keep the audio editing costs under control, keep the web hosting for Bakers for Bakers under control and the Zoom for our monthly calls and that kind of thing. And without them, we couldn't do all of this. Like, it's true. There's no way that I could keep all 195 episodes of the podcast up on the internet, freely available for you to download and listen to whenever you like, if it wasn't for these people. every time a donation comes in, I get a notification and I am extremely grateful. And so thank you to all the supporters. Honestly, could use a couple more. So if you want to support the show, it's easy to do. You just head on over to riseuppod.com and there's a support the show button. You can do a one-time donation. You can set up a monthly subscription. It's easy to do, and every little bit helps a lot. Together, it makes the difference between keeping all this stuff going and having to shut some of it down. So I really do appreciate everyone who now and in the past has supported the show. So thank you for that. And I want to put a plug in for Bakers for Bakers. That's bakers4, bakers.org, which is a free online community. There are hundreds of bakers from all over the world that are members of Bakers for Bakers. They sign up, they go to the forums, they share information, they ask questions of each other, they share business challenges, they share questions about the craft of baking and getting production working and what do we do when the temperature changes and how are we dealing with rising food costs and all of that. And they help each other out and they say, well, here's what's working in my neck of the woods. Maybe this will help you, or here's what I had to do. Maybe some of this will help you in your journey. There's all levels of experience over there too, from folks that have been doing this for decades to folks that are just starting out. And it's a very kind, thoughtful, caring community. And I don't use that word lightly, of people that are trying to make their own bakeries work and help other bakers in their journeys as well. And it's a beautiful place. If you haven't signed up yet, I really think you should. Head over to bakers4bakers.org, sign up is free, and join the conversations over there. It'll be a lot of fun. All right. Martha Barber. So Martha's Delectables is a specialty cookie shop. And they do some other baking, but her bread and butter is shortbread cookies. Very intricate, high-end, amazing flavor shortbread cookies. We've kind of mentioned it right at the start of the talk here. We've run into Martha a few times and her husband Jeff at different baking events and different community events around town. And, you know, I'm no dummy. After the ninth time that I ran into Martha and Jeff and their products, I thought, geez, we should talk. So I reached out to Martha and she joined for a fun conversation where we talk about a different kind of a business, a cookie business that does an awful lot of wholesale and sort of prepackaged cookies, but is also doing retail out of their own shop. So it's a really neat conversation. I think you're going to get a lot out of it. And so let's do that now. But before we start, stick around for the end, okay? I've got a couple extra announcements right at the end. But here we go with Martha Barber from Martha's Delectables in Victoria, BC. Well, thanks for taking the time to do this. I appreciate it. So,
thanks for having me.
Well, and it's funny because we've known about your place since you opened in the new place on Fairfield there, because we've been by a couple of times, but then I keep on running into you, right? Like, we ran into each other in Vancouver at the Bakery Expo. We were on walking down all the art on Moss Street a couple weeks ago and got to Fairfield. Oh, there's your booth and stuff. And I saw Jeff at the booth and that. And then we were at a Harbor Cats game at the end of June. And it's and here's Martha's Delectables and her cookies and stuff, right? And I thought, oh my gosh. So what got you into the ball game thing? How's that working for you?
And Camosun. We met you at Camosun.
Oh yeah, that's where there's that too. Yeah.
Oh, it's been a great sponsorship. We're sponsored for the Harbor Cats. We're members of Destination Grid of Victoria, and that's been a great thing for us too. And through that and their mixers they have monthly.
Yeah.
The GM was at the mixer one night and looking for a new cookie sponsor. And it's like, sure, sign up. So yeah, we've got a contract just for this season for now.
Yeah, sure.
And it's been awesome. Sometimes at the games we'll have our tent, but every game is a cookie giveaway in the crowds, and the advertising, the exposure for us is great. So I've got
I see some behind you. Yeah.
Yeah, they're cookies.
My gosh. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah.
And everyone's really been so welcoming to us, and they're loving the cookies at the merch tent, and then our own baked goods. We'll be there this Saturday.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool. That was my first ever Harbor Cats game, and it was a real experience, you know, because the
did you like it?
Oh yeah, no, it was good. It was good fun. Yeah, and it reminded me a lot of like the Regina Pats games back home, like the major junior stuff, where it's like. In every break, there is something going on, you know, and they told me that when I got the tickets, the lady at the ticket office said, oh yeah, there's always something happening and stuff. Right. And so it was a lot of fun and it was fun watching the baseball and stuff too, you know, so, but well, it was,
they've had such an amazing season.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's cool.
They're doing so well. Yeah. Well, listen, if you want a couple more tickets, drop by the bakery. If I know you're coming, I've got lots of. One.
Oh wow, okay. Yeah. I'll check the schedule and stuff for sure.
This Saturday is the last of the fireworks.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if you've been to the fireworks.
Well, that was the one. It was on the 30th of June. Yeah, they were shooting them off and stuff. And it was that was actually really impressive because the next day was Canada Day, and I think it was over in half the time as at the ball game. So that was kind of funny. Yeah.
I keep hearing how they're better than downtown. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. It was a fun time. Yeah. Yeah. And so how the heck, like, so like I say, like, I know you from the tiny retail shop where you're just making a ton of stuff, but you've been at this for a while now. That wasn't your opening day. That's for darn sure. So like, how did you get a start in all of this?
Years back, a lady in my government office, I'd bring goodies in just for fun for people. And she said, Martha, can I buy some shortbread from you and put it in my own tin and send to my family in Edmonton at Christmas?
Yeah.
I said, sure. Okay. And then it just exploded. And she did that every year to her kids in Edmonton until she decided to move out there herself. And the cat was out of the bag. You mean this is the doors, Mom? Yeah, it just kind of grew.
Yeah. So you started just sort of baking and baking at home, giving it away at the office kind of a thing was the deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
30 year career with the prop. And I said, no, you know, often I just would sit there and think I really like to be baking for people. And everyone said, you know, Martha, you left work and we all lost 15 pounds. So I'm just fulfilling one of my dreams, and I'm just so blessed. Yeah.
Well, and that tradition of Christmas baking and stuff. Did you ever do this where we would do it at the office where everyone would make a batch of something, and then you'd make up little, like every, you know, you'd take two of everything and make up your own assortment and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And at home too, the cookie exchange party.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, okay, just as long as you bring shortbread, you can come. Like,
so that was always your thing. That was what you're known for from the start.
Yeah. But it's even not really my recipe. Like, it's originally my mother-in-law's.
Okay.
On her side. And I loved it because when I was in a rush, I could make a lot pretty quickly. But as opposed to individual, you know, cookies. And we just tweaked it over the years. And then we've added a modern twist to a traditional cookie by incorporating some lovely flavors.
For sure. Yes. Yeah. You've got quite the palate for it's well beyond my grandma's shortbread cookies for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure they were delicious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. But yeah, it's neat to see what you can do. I was talking with a cookie baker in New York. She was in Brooklyn, and that was the kind of what she shared with me was that, you know, from a couple of basic cookie recipes, then she just gets to go to town. Like, that's just a platform that she can go off in every flavor direction she wants to. And that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, sky's the limit really with flavors, right?
Yeah.
We incorporate some beautiful lemon oils from Italy. The maple is to die for. And now we have our orange brandy at Christmas. Mm-hmm. And in the summer right now, we're using beautiful lavender from the Island Lavender Farm in North Santa.
Yeah.
And then we also have our newly released savory shortbread.
Oh, wow. What's that? What's going on with that?
You have to come in and try
some. Okay.
It's to die for, Mark.
I'll come in and then I'll give a full report. Okay.
Yeah. Let me know what you think.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Black pepper and herbs, lovely herbs and garlic and lots of Parmesan cheese, lots of butter, of course, and a little kick of cayenne at the end.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Little round medallions, beautiful with a glass of red and a charcuterie board on a Friday night.
There you go. So when did you decide to take the leap and I'm going to leave the office and do this full time?
Things just worked out that way. It was the timing was right for me to retire.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And I thought, while I'm still vertical, yeah. I'm not starting when I'm 20. So yeah. I best do it now.
Yeah.
I have huge support network from friends, family, and then we're really blessed at the moment too. We have our youngest son who's mm-hmm. our chef, and he is so talented and brings so much to the bakery in creativity, imagination, everything. So
yeah. But when did you make the leap though? Like how long have you been doing this?
Well, officially our branding has been around 6 years, and we outgrew a commissary kitchen downtown Victoria, and then we opened up in Fairfield.
All right. Yeah. And so before, when you were doing the commissary kitchen route, what was your outlet for selling? Like, how did you, I don't know anything about that other than, you come to the store and you get the stuff.
Well, actually it was a ghost kitchen.
Yeah.
Well, the public didn't even know it existed. You couldn't see it. And there were quite a few businesses with us. But we had a website. We've always had a web presence. And then word of mouth. And we started with farmers markets.
Okay. Gotcha.
So many people do, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we still, as you saw at the Harbor Cats, like we still do the odd market.
And so which markets were you a part of in those days?
We were the first vendor registered with the Brayfoot market in Saanich. That was happening years back. And then we'd often do James Bay market at Christmas time. We always have a great welcoming at Highcroft House in Vancouver. Very large, beautiful market. And this year can't make it, but they've ordered about a half a skid worth of product anyways.
Wow, nice.
We got to the point Christmas, we can't do too many markets anymore. At the moment in the summer, like the Harbor Cats we've done, and we'll do the odd one up island. We're an island good business.
Mm-hmm.
So we were involved with Island Good Days in the Neuse Bay not too long ago. And the Harbor Cats, they've kept us busy this summer.
Sure. I bet. Yeah. My daughter made cookies for ice cream sandwiches for like the big ice cream shop in Regina that's sort of like just open in the summertime, right? And it was just absolutely phenomenal how many cookies they needed for their ice cream sandwiches. And she was just going insane. And so I can imagine the doing it for the baseball games and stuff is like a whole other level, So yeah, that's a lot of work.
We've been doing their cookies for their merch tents.
Yeah.
And then plus the giveaways every game. And yeah, people are really enjoying them. Yeah. So we're really happy about that. We do a lot of customized sugar cookies as well.
Right on. Yeah. Yeah. Like I've always been impressed with your packaging and just sort of the way that it's kind of laid out and stuff. And I thought, this could be in every, good quality souvenir or gift shop and stuff around the downtown. Have you gone that route as well?
Yeah, so we're in various stores around Victoria, up island in various locations, and some more so towards Christmas time into the fall season. We're in a lot of gift basket companies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was kind of the route for independence that we took, was we wanted to go into a lot of gift basket companies and focus on tourism.
Yeah.
So the tourist shops at downtown Victoria, it's ones that have maybe higher end items.
Yes. Yes.
Because you have to think of where it's going to be fitting, you know.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Because there's something for everybody on the tourist spectrum, and your products are going to be on the higher end of it, as they should be, for sure. Yeah.
Thank you. And yeah, we've got some B&Bs. People place package on the pillow for their guests. Hotel Rialto, one of the hotels in town, and all the coffee makers in each room have our little snack pack of classic shortbread.
Awesome.
Shirelli's, gourmet foods.
Mm-hmm.
So very niche at Broadmead and Royal Oak. So that, so they're around different
shops. And so is that something that kind of was sort of the strategy when you got started, is saying, hey, we're gonna invest time in making these connections and relationships with folks?
Exactly. And it's so important to have that relationship. And some people we've had relationships since the beginning of time for us. And it's really special to have that continued relationship going, you know? No matter what the time of year too.
Cause I think it's fascinating. It's something that I kind of noticed about you right from the start, was how, like, so many folks that I talk to will, you know, get a lot of good feedback about their product and whatever it is, if it's bread or it's pastries or cakes or whatever, and then they're going to sell, you know, direct to consumer through markets and that kind of thing. But you've really found sort of, here's like almost like a business to business kind of selling that I can do. That's not necessarily wholesale. I guess some of it might be, you know, at the gift shops, it's sort of, yeah, it's on the shelf, I hope people buy it. But things like the hotels and stuff, well, that's guaranteed use. If I'm going to a hotel, I'm eating all the free stuff. Absolutely. I am. You know,
exactly.
So
now you know what's going to be beside the coffee maker.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I it's like, now I got to ask them when I book. It's like, okay, so who makes your cookies?
Yeah, exactly. Do you have Martha's there?
Yeah, exactly. No, but that's really smart, I think.
Thank you. Yeah, it's pretty special. And exactly as what you just said, like, it's a B2B, it's a guaranteed, you know, sale, but it's continual.
Yeah.
And it's all through the year.
Yeah.
People are visiting and then they want more of that product in their room. So they'll go to the front desk. Where can I buy more?
Yeah.
So they refer them to the Bay Center where they are, or they refer them to us or wherever they are.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's nice. Yeah. Cause you've got like, it's sort of once you see your package, then I can't stop seeing the package, right? That's sort of the thing. It's like, oh, well, hey, it's over there too. And I just think that's really cool. And you're baking everything out of the shop on Fairfield then?
Yes, exactly. That's where all the magic takes place. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Cause you're doing a lot out of a fairly tiny workspace, eh?
We have about 450 square feet. Could easily use about four times that, but we make it work.
Yeah. What's the constraint for you, like, space wise? What if you had the extra space? What would be the thing you put in there?
Well, you can never have enough ovens. We would really like to be able to have some equipment to help to automate a couple of to help us along in our growth. We make it work for now. And we love Fairfield. Like, what's not to love about Fairfield?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you getting a lot of walk-up traffic and stuff to the store?
Yeah, for sure.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
We opened here October of 22.
Right.
And then of course a lot of people are curious, who are you? And we've had a lot of repeat customers since then, and some lovely people. Yeah. And we so appreciate everyone who comes through the door. We let them know it's kind of special. It's a hybrid bakery because they can see some of the action, which is kind of exciting for people, see what's going on. At the same time, purchase off a table we have set up at the front door. And everything is made from scratch.
Yeah, and it's fascinating as well because it's like when you watch for a bit, you're clearly making a lot of product, right? And it's like I look at bakeries differently than most folks that are standing there. But I you know, that was our first thought. It's like, holy crow, like they're making a lot of stuff here that it can't just all be going out the front door like this because you're really cranking it out. Yeah.
Well, especially August, the end of August to the end of December.
Yeah. That's short bread time.
Yeah. And even like Highcroft, you know, and we had like a skid go over. It's like someone came here and said, you make all that here? It's like, yes.
Yeah. Well, that's the one thing that I thought that, you know, in this mythical extra 450 feet that you have, it's like, yeah, you need a packaging center and you need a storage center and a loading dock.
Yeah. Now you speak my language.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. your next spot, that's going to be on your checklist.
Exactly.
Yeah. There at our bakery in Regina, it was like every Wednesday when flour would come, that was when I wish I had a loading dock as we're wheeling it through the front door and around the customers and into the back, you know. So
and you made it work, right?
Oh yeah, you make it work. Yeah, you do. Yeah. You do. And you learn to how many flour sacks makes for a bench at the back so you can sit when you're tired and how many you need to lean against. Oh yeah. Yeah, you figure it out. Sure. Yeah. So you mentioned your son already and I know your husband's involved and stuff. Is this full on a family business?
It's pretty special. Well, my husband, Jeff, works still full time for government.
Oh, he does. So, okay. Well, that's good. So,
yeah. 4:30, then the other hat goes on. And so he's quite busy, but he's an awesome supporter and he'll jump in wherever he needs to jump in to help. And Micah is full time with us. And then our other son, Austin, he's a little bit older. He is the taste tester of all. So when he comes down here to visit on a lunchtime for him, then yeah, he just consumes the product.
Yeah.
So, he keeps the stock fresh.
Yeah. Well, and for sure. I guess when you're just about a year in the new place and stuff, I'm just kind of, I'm curious sort of what, you're at the start, or a few weeks away from the real busy season that it sort of heads down till Christmas time. Have you thought much about sort of where you want to go with the business or sort of what's on the horizon for you? Or is it just like, keep on going the way we're going?
We do have couple irons in the fire at the moment. We just recently got on with Malahat Skywalk.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. And possibly we're hoping, fingers crossed, we're hoping at Christmas for Butch Art Gardens.
Wow.
And we've just redone all our packaging so that up to national standards and bilingual and everything. So that's what we're hoping to do now is to keep going east.
Yep. Sure. Sure. And just keep that distribution, making it easy to say yes to sending stuff further afield.
Yeah. We have to still work on our website as well for that. Right now we're in BC only as far as like the website is. So we have to work on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then I guess it would be a different, with the type of business that you have, it's a different, you're telling different stories when it comes to trying to reach hotels and boutiques and B&Bs and Bouchard Gardens and that kind of thing, right? It's just as important to tell the story well, but it's that, you know, when they hit the website, you want it to be like, oh yeah, no, this is the place I come to for my, you know, business to business kind of products that I'm looking for.
Exactly. We also have quite a unique relationship with Destination Greater Victoria.
Yeah.
So Tourism BC they will periodically they call us up and say, Martha, we need X number of boxes of your shortbread to go to another conference. And often they're in Toronto or Oregon or somewhere, and they're representing Victoria. So we feel very honored there. And right now we've just done up quite a load of order of sugar cookies that are on their way to St. John's.
Wow.
To represent Victoria for next year's conference to be held here.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, it's such a pleasure and honor to be representing our terrific city.
Well, and was that a connection that you had before you kind of got into this as a business with the tourism groups, or is this something that you've kind of discovered and mined and that kind of thing?
It's just been part of the relationship building and the trust, you know, in our product and being members of DGV. Over the time, they feel that it works. The partnership really works. People come back to the booth to get more of the cookies.
Yeah.
Told us, and so it's a fantastic relationship together.
Yeah, because you signed up as part of your startup as I'm gonna be a member. This is something I want to be a member of.
Exactly. Yeah, because we love the tourism aspect with our shortbread, and we have many people that come here to purchase to bring back home, wherever that might be, as gifts for other people or for themselves. And so we really like that tourist connection.
No, that's fascinating. It really is, because it's fascinating from a pure, like, a product point of view, but also then, you know, I have a considered opinion about Bouchard Gardens is sort of like, you know, the number of people that I have found that come to this city and think of Victoria, Bouchard Gardens, Victoria, like, it's one and the same thing, right? And yeah. and then they kind of find it's like, oh my God, it's a ways out, you know, to get there and all of that, and that kind of thing. Yeah, I got 3 hours. You don't want to go to Bouchard Gardens, but it's like you're doing that with Martha's Delectables. It's sort of it's out in all those places that it's like when they think of Victoria, it's like that's going to be one of those memories, you know.
Thank you. Yeah, we hope so.
Yeah, no, that's really cool.
I just feel that it would be a really great fit, and. Yeah, I've been in touch with the purchaser, so well, it happens. It sounds promising for the fall.
No, that's really neat. Well, because the meetup in January at Camosun there were the folks from Bouchard, and that was when I was chatting with them. That's the first time I got the sense of like, oh, they're busy out there. Like even the bakers, everybody's just busy. So yeah, no, that's neat. That's neat.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a really neat angle for folks that are listening to this. Just the like, because it didn't pop into my mind at all when we had the bakery that sort of going through the tourism board, making those connections might open up something that would work for both of us or that kind of a thing. Where because my government job before the bakery was with SaskTel, with Telcom, right? And so. So those PR guys, and then I had buddies at SAS Power, those PR guys would be like, we'd do the same thing. It's like, I need 1,000 light bulb shaped cookies for a do or a giveaway or a thing that we're doing or something. It's the SaskTel guys would say like, yeah, we're doing this function. Can you make a bunch of stuff? And it was like, we did it because we were friends, but it was like, we weren't set up to do it. Like it was like, okay. Yeah, we remember how to do this from last time. We'll rejig everything and make these 1,000 extra cookies. But it's really neat to me to hear what you're, it's sort of like, no, we can actually do this on purpose. Like that this is something that we're set up to do.
Yeah, it's pretty special. Like we do a lot of corporate branding, a lot of logos for businesses and any special occasions. We can put any PNG image on a cookie. We invested in technology a while back to say, yes, let's do this and focus on this in our business. And then we acquired the bakery, and it's just really been a great fit. Oh, yeah, we're having fun. And we put absolutely everything you can think of, I think, on a top of a cookie.
Yeah. I kind of feel it. I feel it like a bit of a fool here because it's like, oh, yeah, no, right. You can get some tech to help you out with that. I'm embarrassed. We would buy just plain round cookie cutters and bend them into the shape of what we wanted. And that was our technology. Like, we were really, I think Cindy did all of this. I think she made amazing stuff. We were raw beginners in the art of making quantity. I remember three of us, we were sitting on flour sacks around the bench, flood icing these cookies for an engineering firm that we said, yeah, we'll put your logo on 500 of these cookies to pick up. And we were doing them all by hand and till the wee hours one night and said, okay, yes. we're not going to do that again. So it's so cool to talk to somebody who says, oh, no, we actually do this on purpose and by design.
Yeah, by design. I appreciate where you're coming from though. Yeah. It's been too late nights.
Yeah. Along the way. Yeah. You get those. That's how you start, I guess. Right. But that's super cool. Super cool. Yeah. Well, and so then I guess it's sort of like get through, but power through Christmas, have the best Christmas ever. And then sort of, okay. Do you take a bit of a break in January and sort of breathe and plan and stuff?
That would be nice. I would love to do that. We may get like 3 days off or so, but at the beginning of January, we have basket companies asking for Valentine's.
Already, hey, yeah.
And right now I have companies asking for fall designs. It's like, okay, yes, well, we're on it. so we have, I don't know, we don't stop too much.
Yeah, wow, wow. No, that's pretty awesome, Martha. Like, that really is, you know.
Well, you know, we like to work hard at things and do a really good job, the best that we can for people. And to know that our cookies are at these special functions in people's lives is really quite touching. And if we can put, our goal really is just to put more smiles on more faces.
Sure.
Someone came in the bakery today and they had a pretty rough day. All their scheduling was behind and they were late for everything. And they had an ice cream. I said, well, I really hope that puts a smile on your face and your day just gets better. Yeah, sometimes it just, when people are up, down, it helps them to feel a little up. We're having fun. It's really special to work with my team because even those who aren't family, we're all treated, everyone, like family.
For sure. Well, and it's got to be nice to know or to see sort of the smiles that you're bringing to folks when you do get a chance to get out back in the tent. You know, and that as well, because it's like, if not, I'll make sure to send you notes to remind you. But yeah, because it's like the folks that are the places that I see your product and stuff, I can just imagine how people are happy and excited and the joy when they get the good stuff and say, like, hold on here. You know, especially like, you know, like at a boutique hotel and stuff, it's like, no, this isn't what you get on the airplane. This is a proper cookie here. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all done by scratch and, you know, everything is a small batch and yeah, it's pretty nice, I think. And our flavors, we focus on our packaging, our quality, our flavors in anything we produce. Our ice cream flavors right now are just amazing. We have a toasted marshmallow and a beautiful raspberry cream, and the list goes on. And yeah, beautiful ice creams.
So you're making ice cream as well?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Neat. Okay.
We make our base, everything from scratch.
Wow.
And we don't wholesale. It's just in store.
Just in the store. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to get a crew out to see you then and check that out. No, that's awesome. Yeah. So what have I missed, Martha? What should we, was there anything that you were hoping we touch on?
Well, you know, not unlike anyone else really in the industry, Mark, right now, that there are a couple of big challenges.
What's it from your perspective?
Well, definitely the cost of ingredients.
Yeah.
That's one, the costs just keep going up, and you know, people only want to pay what they want to pay for a cookie, but there's a lot behind.
Because you're using good quality ingredients all the time, have you noticed it's hitting you even harder?
Yeah. Well, shipping, you know, shipping is expensive.
Yeah.
But we pretty much only use Couverture chocolate.
Okay.
We don't really use chocolate chips. And so I've explained to people the quality behind the product that we offer. And so that's, you know, one of the challenges for sure. And the economy in general. So being an island good business, and even if you're not, it's so imperative that people support local. Now that we're on the other side of the pandemic too, it's even more than ever important to support local businesses. And to those that do, we just thank you and keep on doing it, because it's just keeping the economy going, you know, and making Victoria a stronger place.
I was talking with another podcast conversation just last week about how that, you know, we were really digging into that local, you know, spending money locally, how it stays in the city, it stays in the community that it's being spent in. And it's like there's so many of the larger businesses are geared with get the money and get it out and take it over there and I don't know what, hoard it or something. But it's like, it's nice to see it flowing around here, and it's nice to see, you know. And I think we're really lucky. I think where we live, there's a strong group of folks that are buying local and getting the good stuff, and they're going to your place and then across to the Moss Street Market and stuff on a Saturday. Yeah, but you're right. It's like the more the merrier, please. You know, let's keep that going. Yeah,
exactly. And it was great through the pandemic, and we see it still now. And there's, you know, we're one of three businesses on a patio, and people come in and say, okay, I bought something from here, and now it's your turn. And that's awesome. You know, support everyone. That's really great.
Well, that's really cool. And I guess that's the thing. Like, it's kind of, I've forgotten. I'm used to the new layout, but actually you took over half of an existing bakery, right? Because there was a bakery that we used to go to in there, and then they closed, and now there's two. There's yours, and there's another one side by side doing different products and complementary products and stuff. And that's that's a question for you. It's like, tell me how is that having another bakery like right there?
We like to think that we're neighborly.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And then we have chocolate beside that. So it's
That's right too. Yeah.
And now we have tacos upstairs beside us.
Oh wow.
Staircase.
Okay.
So yeah, it's had its challenges too. But we're not the population of Vancouver, a large city center, right? But no, but we're neighborly, and we just focus on what we do best, right? And we all get along the best that we can. And we have a beautiful patio that everyone's welcome to use. And our products, for the most part, they complement each other, I feel.
Yeah, very, very much so. Yeah, that's what I've noticed for sure when we come down that way. Yeah. Yeah, but it is kind of unique to be in it's not a residential neighborhood. It's like that one of those little business hubs that's like a half a block, you know, the bike shop, the real estate shop, two bakeries and a taco stand, yeah. And then the burger place, or is, you know, and all of that, yeah. Like all on in like four old houses, basically. It's pretty wild to have that concentration. Yeah.
And it's quite a food hub now.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. It really is.
The home that we're in was Sir James Douglas's cottage 150 years ago.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Yeah. So
it's pretty special. Even one of the original rose bushes is out here.
Oh, that's super cool. Yeah.
So the house was raised, and three dwellings were put upstairs and three businesses downstairs.
Okay. Huh.
Yeah.
That's so neat. So neat.
Yeah. So yeah, no, we're having a good time down here.
Right on. Well, it's been really good talking to you, Martha, and hearing hearing or getting a sense of, I guess, the breadth of all the things that you're into. And again, it's like, I'm just super impressed with everything that you're doing, the baking and the cookie making and the quality of the products, but also just the way you're kind of seeing the world and getting your products out in the world is really, really cool. And I think there's a lot of lessons for folks from what you're doing. So I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you know, we've got four walls, but I really believe that there's a lot more out there than the four walls. So I'm trying as much as I can, yeah, to get the exposure and introduce people to what we have to offer. And yeah, and then we're close to the school. So we often will have kids come down. And after school, we have little baking parties with some of the after school programs.
Yeah, nice.
And they come down, they've made delicious brownies with us. And there's about a group of 12 of them.
Oh, great.
We've made cake in a mug and different things, you know, and it's just my pleasure to do that with them. And we do a little bit of philanthropy. We'll often be donating to some of the societies in town, and that helps as well. And yeah.
Nice.
Everyone does a little bit, then it's a big help, right?
Pillar of the community right there for sure. That's awesome. No, that's great. Yeah. Good for you. Hey.
Well, I can't thank you enough for having me on your show today.
Awesome. Thanks, Martha.
Wow. So that was neat. That was a lot of fun. It was neat to talk to Martha and get the lowdown on her story. Because like I said in the intro, you know, we run into Martha's Delectables, whether it's Jeff and Martha in person or their products, kind of all over the city at different things and different events. I just think they've really got this figured out, this idea of, you know, I can bake these things. They have, you know, a bit more shelf life than a croissant or sourdough bread. And I can put them in places where people will want more and will demand more. But from her perspective, she can sell a lot of them at a time. You know, she can send a case to a hotel. She can send a half a skid to a market in Vancouver. Like, that's pretty cool. And I thought that was really interesting how she partners with the different tourist organizations in Victoria, on the island, that kind of thing, to kind of promote the location. And she's a big booster for the community where she lives, but is not only a personal booster. Her products are also, you know, boosters for the community where she lives. I just think it's a really neat combination. But I also thought it was really cool how in their minds and in Martha's and Jeff's minds, well, yeah, but we need to serve the people right in the neighborhood too, right? And so, you know, she's got this production facility that's kind of set up for doing large quantities, and yet she's got a table at the front and you can come buy a package at a time or now you can buy some ice cream. When we've done that, when we visited with them, they're very friendly and free to chat with the folks that are coming to the front to pick up one individual item, even though they're making caseloads for other places around the island. And I just think that's really neat, and it speaks to the pull on the heart for some of us bakers that, yeah, the product and the logistics and the production is all really interesting, but at the end of the day, I like to talk to people. It's pretty cool to me how they've found a combination that works for them. So I wish them big success. I never did make it to the final ball game of the season, but that's okay. I'll probably see them next year, the way things are going. Now, I said I got a couple announcements, and I do. And this is more about the show. And so thanks to Martha, let's talk about the show in the future for a bit, okay? First off, just want you to know that I'm taking a bit of a hiatus with the podcast here. It's not going away, but I need to take some time and just kind of get my creativity going again. I'm in a bit of a creative rut with the show, and I'm trying to imagine. I haven't liked this pace. I'll say it out loud. I haven't liked this pace of doing a show every other week, or sometimes I do a couple and then there's a break, and I don't like it. And I know you don't like it. And so I'm trying to sort of reimagine this of what would a block of shows look like? And what would a block of shows look like that maybe had a theme running through them, or maybe had, you know, a bit of a, I could look at this block of shows as a thing, you know, and what would it be like to maybe write that and build that and put it together and share it with you? And so that's what I'm kind of dreaming about right now, but it requires some lead time to do that. And so there's going to be a break for a while in shows, and I will be announcing again, hey, we've got a new season coming up. And when that new season comes up, there's going to be something. It's going to be a thing. And I'm not going to leave you hanging like, when's the next episode? And maybe a few will come by dribs and drabs. It's going to be a thought through, produced, actual thing. I just don't know what that is yet. And so I need a little time to figure that out. But I don't want to lose touch with you either. You know, that's the thing. And so a couple ideas in the meantime. You can always reach out to me anytime at mark@riseuppod.com. I love getting emails from you, and I'll respond, and we can stay in touch that way. We have the archives, 195 episodes. I think there's more. I think my counts are wrong because it says that there's 210, but I have 195 on the episode count. They're all at riseuppod.com, and this would be a time to go through the archives or re-listen to your favorite episodes, that kind of a thing. Also, the place to go is Bakers for Bakers, because that's not going away. And I'm still going to keep running a call a month over there. I'm still going to be connecting with folks when they reach out to me on Bakers for Bakers. Still going to be trying to introduce you to people if you need a hand and that kind of thing over on B4B. So I encourage you to sign up there. That's where I'm going to be announcing first when this new thing is ready. So, this is not goodbye. This is a temporary farewell. But I do hope that you enjoyed this episode, enjoyed the last 5 or 6 years that I've been doing this show. And I'm excited for what the next one's going to look like. And I hope you are too. And until then, please keep working hard. Keep baking lots. Keep making the good stuff. Stay safe, stay healthy. Happy baking. Bye-bye.